Paul Jesuit, will ask the Lord's blessing.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're so thankful for the opportunity of gathering here this evening to study a portion of thy word. We ask that you would grant Uncle Tony the help and guidance in guiding our thoughts and directing us this evening. And we thank you for all the many ways that thou has led us. And please guide us that when we leave here, we may use the things that we learn this evening more in our daily lives. We ask a special blessing on this ecclesia and their endeavors to serve thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, brethren, our lesson this evening begins on page 235, paragraph 2, to 237, paragraph 1. And the question is question number 40 on page 40 in the question book at the bottom of the page. Now, keep the chart open, brethren, because the lesson this evening is dealing with four classes, N, M, P, and Q. You see the unfinished pyramid in the Gospel Age, in the middle of the Gospel Age. We're going to be dealing with these four classes, N, M, P, and Q. So we'll go right into the lesson. Harriet, would you read second paragraph is a long paragraph, so would you read half of it? And Lori, would you read the second half? And Esther, on page 236, would you read half of the first paragraph? And Francis, the second half. And then Mary, you read the next paragraph. And Paul, you read the next paragraph. And Paul, you read the first paragraph on 238. All right, Mary.
Okay, look again at the chart. N, M, P, Q are four distinct classes which unitedly represent the nominal gospel church as a whole, claiming to be the body of Christ. Both the N and M classes are on the spirit-begotten plane, M. These two classes have existed together throughout the gospel age, both covenanted with God to become living sacrifices. Both were accepted as the beloved and begotten by the Spirit as new creatures. The difference between them is this. N represents those who are fulfilling their covenant and are dead with Christ to earthly will, aims, and ambitions, while M represents the larger company of the Spirit-begotten children who have covenanted, but who, alas, shrink back from the performance of their covenant.
Thank you, Harriet. Lori?
The N class consists of the overcomers who will be the bride of Christ, who will sit with the Lord in His throne of in glory. Plain K. This is the little flock to whom it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Those of the M class shrink from the death of the human will, but God still loves them, and therefore will bring them by the way of adversity and trouble to plain L, the perfect spiritual plane. But they will have lost the right to plain K, the throne of glory, because they were not overcomers. If we prize our Father's love, if we desire our Lord's approval, if we aspire to be members of His body, His bride, and to sit in His throne, we must fulfill our covenant of sacrifice faithfully and willingly.
The majority of the nominal church is represented by section P. Notice that they are not on plane M, but on plane N. They are justified, but not sanctified. They are not fully consecrated to God and not begotten, therefore as spirit beings. They are higher than the world, however, because they accept of Jesus as their ransom from sin, but they have not accepted the high calling of this age to put part of the spirit to become part of the spiritual family of God. If they continue in faith and fully submit to the righteous laws of Christ's kingdom in the times of restitution, they will finally attain the likeness of the perfect earthly man Adam. They will completely recover all that was lost through him. They will attain the same human perfection, mental, moral, and physical, and will again be in the image of God as Adam was. For to all this they were redeemed.
And the position of justification, plain in, as those who have heard and believe in the salvation through Christ, is a special blessing which they by faith enjoy sooner than the general world, for all shall be brought to an accurate knowledge of the truth in the millennial age. These, however, will have had the advantage of an earlier start and some progress in the right direction. But Class T fails to improve the real benefit of this faith justification in the present time. It is granted now for the special purpose of enabling some to make the acceptable sacrifice and to become the end class as members of the body of Christ. Those of Class P receive the favor of God, justification in vain. They fail to use it to go on and present themselves acceptable sacrifice during this time in which sacrifices are acceptable to God. Those of this class, though not saints, not members of the consecrated body, are called brethren by the apostle. In the same sense, the entire race, when restored, will forever be brethren of the Christ and children of God, though of a different nature. God is the Father of all and finally with him on every plane and of every nature.
Another class connected with the nominal church, which never did believe in Jesus as a sacrifice for its sins, and which consequently is not justified, not in plain N, is represented below plain N by section Q. These are wolves in sheep's clothing, yet they call themselves Christians and are recognized as members of the nominal church. They are not truly believers in Christ as their Redeemer. They belong to plain R. They are part of the world and are out of place in the church and a great injury to it. In this mixed condition, with these various classes M, M, P, and Q mingling together and all calling themselves Christians, the church has existed throughout the gospel age. As our Lord foretold, the nominal kingdom of heaven, the nominal church, is like a field sown with wheat and tares. And he said he would let both grow together until the harvest and the end of the age. In the time of the harvest, he will say unto the reapers, the angels, messengers, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Paul?
That's all there is to it. That's as far as I go.
Paul's appointment now. 237, paragraph 1, is that the question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Paul.
All right, now, we have some scriptures that are in the paragraph and some scriptures that are partially quoted. Charles, would you read Ephesians 1:6? Now, this is partially quoted. Martha, 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. And then in the paragraph, Anna, Luke 12:32. That's in the paragraph. And Venice, this is referred to, Hebrews 2:15, concerning the great company. Then on page 236, at the bottom of the page, Priscilla, would you read Romans 12:5? That's referred to. Romans 12:5. And Paul, 2 Corinthians 6:1. That's in the paragraph. And Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:1. That's in the paragraph.
You just gave that one.
That's 12:1.
No, this is 6:1.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Romans.
It's Romans.
Romans.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Romans 12:1. Oh. And Mary, where it says wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15, and Francis in the paragraph Matthew 13:38, 41, and 49. All right, Brother Charles, Ephesians 1:6.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
And Martha, 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12.
The saying is true, is sure. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
And Anna, Luke 12:32.
Now fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
And Venice, Hebrews 2:15.
And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage.
And Priscilla, Romans 12:5.
So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
And Paul, 2 Corinthians 6:1.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
And Paul,
what you can make.
Romans 12:1.
Oh, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And Mary, Matthew 7:15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
And Francis, Matthew 13:38, and then the others.
The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity.
And 49.
So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just.
Yes, thank you all. All right, now, question number 40. Describe the four classes of the nominal gospel church represented on the chart by N, M, P, and Q.
Tony, before you ask that question, that 49th verse that Francis read, which angel of angels does that refer to, the angels of the Lord or the demons of Satan?
All right, is there a thought on Esther's question?
Of the Lord, the messengers of the Lord, they do the separating.
Yes. See, now, the beauty of these prophecies is the fact that the Lord would make aware the wheat class that it is the time of the harvest. We can't imagine God saying in his word through Christ that the harvest is the end of the age, and that then not let anybody on the earth know that the harvest is started. And that's the when you stop and think about it, the responsibility of making a declaration like that to Christendom. All right, now as we take the Esther, did you have any further thoughts on your question? Mm-hmm. All right. All right, we'll take them one by one. Who is represented by N?
The bride of Christ, the church of God.
Yes.
That's the plane of spirit begettle M. They're on the plane of M. The big M.
Yes. Now, maybe we should read some scriptures that we have on this sheet here. Now, on the little n, under the little n, Let's read the one referred to, Revelation 7:4. Esther, would you read that?
Revelation 7:4, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed." I'm sorry, that's 3. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
All right, thank you. All right, now, the little M there is Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. Lori, would you read those verses?
Tony, before she reads that, the one that Sister Esther read, what was that?
Don't you have one of these, Charles?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, now, the one that Esther read was the 7th chapter of Revelation.
Yes, I know, 4, but the one is that N, I thought it was N, but which N is that?
That is the N, Charlie. This little
see
on the chart,
yeah,
the top,
yeah.
Right there.
See, in other words,
well,
Charlie, the planes.
I have that.
Yeah.
But now you asked the Lori to read one. You said
about M.
The little M.
This is
all
this
right,
is on M.
Okay.
Lori.
Okay. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lori. Now, what class is represented here by the little letter M?
The great company.
The great company. And what kind of a class is it?
Spirit begotten.
Yes, the Spirit begotten Christ. Yes. All right, now on the on plane P, in the green book, there's a footnote.
Oh, that's on 238.
Oh, that's on the next page. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, now let's read the scripture on P. Harriet, would you read Matthew 22:14?
Matthew 22:14, "For many are called, but few are chosen."
Now, would you read that sentence, Harriet, in this here, do you have it there?
P.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of nominal church, approaching justification, but not fully consecrated.
Thank you, Harriet. Now we'll ask a question on this. Do these individuals in the church who believe in Christ recognize their true condition?
No.
Why?
I think that all they have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they shall be saved. They don't go on to consecration.
They're
not spirit begotten. No. Harry, you have your hand up?
Yeah. On 236, I agree with what was said, and on 236, the first paragraph, throughout that, but I was thinking of the second sentence, "They are justified but not sanctified." We know from our other studies that really it's the thought of tentative justification that he was referring to. And there was a reprint article that does go into it a little bit, if the brethren want the reference. It's reprint 5316, Questions on Justification.
Thank you, Arielle.
Someone asked a question about whether he had changed his mind, and he said that the understanding of justification gets clearer, you know, since Volume 1 was written, but it isn't wrong, but it isn't as complete as it might be.
Question, Tony, on what something on what Harriet said. Are these Christians, are Christians that are justified, are they tentatively justified?
That's the term he used in the article.
I don't think so, because they're not doing anything with their justification. They're on that plane forever. For all their life, they're on that plane. They're justified. They don't make any progress.
All right, Harriet?
If they're on plane N, then they have to be tentatively justified. If they're not on plane N, then they're in the Q class.
Capital N.
Capital N.
Right.
That's perfect human plane.
Yeah,
that's
because
a perfect human plane.
Yeah. They can't be recognized, to my understanding, they can't be on plane N if they don't have some kind of a standing with God. So
M and P. Either P, N, and M and N have to have, because that's above plane capital N.
Yeah, I would think the others, maybe proportionately P is a, we know P is smaller than Q, but I mean I think that
Q is below perfection, though.
Yeah, but Q doesn't really have any relationship with God.
No.
No, they're being hypocritical.
But to be on plane N, they have to. Yeah. To my understanding, down through the age.
Yeah. Well, maybe I misunderstand tentative justification, but the way I understand it is that if you're tentatively justified, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use that justification in this age, you lose it. So they no longer have a tentative, they're no longer tentatively justified.
When the age is over, yes, that's right. When the age is over, not now.
Not now.
See, in other words, Martha, look over to the tabernacle, in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Look over to the tabernacle. All right, now, they are pictured, they accept Christ mm-hmm. as their Redeemer. So they're pictured as being in the court.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, if they don't present their bodies living sacrifices, then when the harvest is over, they're back in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and this is what Harriet is bringing up. When Brother Russell wrote the first volume, he did not see as clearly tentative mm-hmm. justification and justification. So even though his wording, there's nothing wrong with the wording, yet as he studied more on the topic and went into it, then he could see more clearly that there is a class that accepts Christ, they're very sincere, but because of their leaders assure them that they're going to heaven. If you accept Christ, you're saved. You hear that all the time. You're born again. You accept Christ. Anna?
Isn't that clarification in the, let's say, the foreword of the sixth volume?
Yes. Yes. It's in a number of places, yes. Venice, you had your hand up?
Yes, I like the thought that Pastor Russell brings out in the paragraph when he says, the class P fails to improve the real benefits of this faith justification in the present time. They do. But there are some that may not, because he says in the next sentence, it is granted now for the special purpose of enabling some to make the acceptable sacrifice and to become the end class as members of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, what we'll do then is we'll go to the Q class now, and then we'll ask if there's any additional thoughts. Charles, under Q, we read Matthew 7:15. Would you read Matthew 24, verses 48 to 51?
24, 48 to 51. Thank you. Matthew 24, 48 to 51. What, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing.
Well, evidently, actually, for Q, the scripture that brings it out is 51, where it refers to this class as hypocrites. All right, are there any further thoughts or questions now on these four classes? Harriet?
To me, the Q class, even though the scriptures speak of wolves in sheep's clothing and here as hypocrites, all the Q class aren't necessarily evil people. But it's people who go to church but aren't really Christians. And a lot of people do. They go for business reasons, they go for
social
reasons and friendships and this kind of thing, but God isn't first in their life, and Christ isn't either. You know, so I think this Q class can include a lot, or does include a lot, because they simply aren't really true Christians. They don't have any standing with God.
Now, does the parable of Matthew 13, does it indicate that the wheat field is overrun by tares?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
That the majority, when the harvest time would come, the majority in the Christian world would be in the category of tares. Now, would we call these tares members of the P class or members of the Q class? Now, would all tares be of the Q class, or would all tares be of the P class?
No, I think they'd be of the Q class, because they are not real Christians. Their tares are not real wheat. They're imitation wheat.
I think it would be the P and Q. Notice the way Brother Russell has it, it's in a pyramid. The objective of that pyramid is not, well, the objective is to arrive at the N. It's from M, P, and Q that N is derived. That's the final objective of it. And it's from the whole thing. Let the wheat and the tares grow together till the time of the harvest. Then the Lord instructs that the master would gather the wheat into his garner or into his barn and bind the tares up in bundles and burn them. So that'll come out in just in the next section. But the object, he shows it in pyramid form, showing that it's a developing state. It goes to higher. It should go higher. It's from the Q and P class that M and N, and finally N, is derived from. So the I think that P class, not See, it on the chart it shows it on above capital N. And capital N shows it is perfect human nature. Now, it's a supposition, or it's looked at from this way. You know, the Lord said, "Let the wheat and the tares grow together," and that it did down through the whole of the gospel age, and then it developed at this end where the separation has taken place. So from P and from Q is where M and N is derived. The highest standard is in here. What we're talking about is the N here.
Tony, yeah. The paragraph on page 238, the first paragraph, answers that question in one sentence, but I don't want to read it because I know we're going to be going
on. All right, well, then why don't we hold that and then we'll go on. All right, Paul, would you read the second paragraph on 237?
These words of our Lord show us that while he purpose that both should grow together during the age and be recognized as members of the nominal church, he also purposed that there should come a time of separation between these different elements when those who are truly of the church, his saints, and small n, approved and owned of God, should be made manifest.
All right, thank you, Paul. Martha, would you read Matthew 13:39?
And the enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels.
Yes, thank you. All right, question 41. In which parable does our Lord show his determination to separate the wheat from the tares, and at what time will this take place?
Well, the scripture that Martha read, and as the scripture brings out, the harvest is the end of the world, so it'll be at the end of the age, in the beginning of the millennial age.
Yes, thank you. Now when you realize the wisdom of what the Lord is doing, here the Bible student movement now has come to a point where it's very small, and yet when we realize that the circumstances that God arranges to take place in the earth show that many Christians who believe in Christ, many of those that are even on the M and also on the
N, the N. Line?
Yeah, there it is, N.
Plain or,
N and M. Now notice the stand that God has forced these two classes, actually three classes, M, P, and Q, to take. Now, look at what the churches are doing now. A new world order. They are going to do it. They're representing Christ, and they're going to convert the world and bring about the kingdom of Christ by their endeavors. And the only ones that keep separate from this ecumenical movement is the little flock, the N, because they know what's going on. The others, they follow popular concepts. Harriet?
Would we say that this is the
I don't say all of the great
Q class, or would we say this is more now the TUV class?
All right. You're going ahead in the lesson.
I know, but I mean in the statement with the harvest, it's really the harvest is a different picture.
Right. Oh, that's right. But actually, we're talking about the harvest.
Yeah. I mean, they're the same classes.
Yeah, they are the same classes. But we know that a lot in the great company class, mm-hmm. don't go along with the ecumenical movement. But yet, we believe that they're a spirit begotten in Christendom. And they feel that they're taking the right course. You see what how active Billy Graham is, how active Schuller is, how active all of these different ones are, fully unaware of the Lord's second presence. That's what makes them do what they're doing. They don't want to figure out what does the Lord mean by the harvest and the call to come out of Babylon. Because what are they doing? They're associating with Babylon. They recognize that papacy is Babylon, and yet the ecumenical movement is Protestants and Catholics get together. All right, is there Martha?
I want to read a scripture. Yes. This is a scripture before the 38th of Matthew 13:38.
I read
39.
Yes, but we read the other one previous.
But I want to read it for a specific reason to show that the tares are on cue. They're not on plain end. The field is the world. The good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The tares or wheat are the sons of the evil one. So they're not. They are below the plane of human perfection. They're on cue.
Well, I have to disagree with that.
We'll get it in the next paragraph.
Well, it says they are the sons of the evil one.
Yes, they're deceived by the wicked one.
I'm speaking of the tares now. I'm not speaking of those that are justified.
I understand what you're saying.
And you don't agree with that.
I don't agree.
I read the scripture. You don't agree with the scripture.
I do agree with
the scripture. No, I read the scripture to you, and you don't. You said, I don't agree with that. I heard you.
Yes, I do not agree with the fact that you're saying that the only ones that are in the tear class are the Q class. I disagree with that. That's what you told
the
me.
The tear class are the sons of the evil one.
So you said they're the Q class.
Yeah. I said they're the cute
class. Martha, on page 238, in the middle of the first paragraph.
We'll read that yet.
Yeah, all right. Why don't we go on then? All right, we'll go on.
It says all class two, middle class two.
Paul read that. All right, Paul Jesuit, would you read the next paragraph?
During the gospel age, the good seed has been growing, and tares or counterfeits also. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the spiritual children, classes small n and small m, while the tares are the children of the wicked one. All of class Q and many of class P are therefore tares, for no man can serve two masters, and his servants you are to whom you render service. As those in class P do not consecrate their service and talents to the Lord that bought them a reasonable service, doubtless they give much of their time and talent really in opposition to God, and hence in the service of the enemy.
Yes, thank you, Paul.
Tony, could I say something now?
Sure.
It says some of them, not all of them, on class are tares on class P.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it says
some of them.
Many of class P.
Yeah, many.
Are
but,
therefore.
But all on Q are.
Yeah.
So
right.
Now the reason I say that, Martha, is because when the great company washes their robes, the great company is going to be in Babylon when Babylon goes down.
If there are any in Babylon, they'll be forced out.
Yeah. All right, let's read the two scriptures that are partially quoted. Who read the last scripture? Priscilla, you read the last scripture?
I read the Matthew, the last. Remember? I read.
You read?
Matthew 13:39, I read.
Oh, okay, right. Then Anna, you read Matthew 6:24. This is in paragraph 1. And Venice, Romans 6:16.
You want to give me mine again?
Matthew 6:24.
You know, I still can't understand why they would be on the P, while some of them are tares, why they would be on that a perfect human plane when some of them are tares.
Well, they're actually, what we're calling tares there is not only the Q class, Martha, but those that believe in Christ but serve organizations rather than serving God. Because in order to serve God,
and also serving themselves.
What's that?
And also those who are serving themselves. There are many good people.
Well, those that are serving themselves would be the Q class. They'd be the hypocrites, I think.
Well, no. I would think the real hypocrites would be those who are fighting the truth. And those who are of the P class are those who are serving both masters. In other words, they're on the fence. That they love the Lord to a certain degree, but they love themselves and they love the things of the earth.
All right.
And in that way, they're enemies of God because they're not serving God.
All right. Let's read the scriptures and then we can discuss it. Sister Anna?
Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
So what is mammon?
Well, let's wait on it, please.
Yeah.
All right, and Venice, Romans 6:16.
Do you not know that if you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?
Thank you both. Now, question 42. Who are the good seed and the tares, respectively?
The good seed is N and M, and few of the P class, as Brother Russell brings out that in there, that many of class B are the tares. But he doesn't say all of them,
yeah.
So there has to be some in there that they go from justification to sanctification at that time.
Atoning?
No, in the time of trouble, Esther,
yeah.
Those that are in the P class
can't
go on to justification.
No, they're justified.
Because the door is going to be closed.
All right,
they go back into the world.
They go back into the world?
Yeah.
Okay.
In other words...
But are they considered tares to the uttermost?
No, that's the point we're bringing
then
out.
Then those are those that love the Lord but didn't serve them. So they served the two masters. They served God and they served mammon. And as Laurie brought out mammon is wealth. Okay? So, therefore, but...
Not necessarily wealth.
All right, what else could it be?
In other words, it can be worldly ambition.
Right.
Okay. It could be a number of things.
I think so.
All right, is there any further thoughts?
One question.
All right, Paul, and you want to ask a question, Charles?
Maybe better.
All right, Paul, go ahead, Paul.
We're skirting around this all, but I think what we should do is go back to the first paragraph on 236, part of it, and read the remaining part on 237. About the eighth line up from the bottom. Where
all
it
right,
says
go ahead and read it. You go ahead and read it. You're commenting.
So, but class P fails to improve the real benefit of this faith justification in the present time. It is granted now for this special purpose of enabling some to make an acceptable sacrifice and become the N class as members of the body of Christ. Those of class P receive the favor of God, justification in vain. They fail to use it to go on and to present their acceptable sacrifices during this time in which sacrifices are acceptable to God. Those of this class, though not saints, not members of the consecrated body, are called brethren by the apostle. In the same sense, the entire race, when restored, will forever be brethren of Christ and children of God, though of a different nature. God is the Father of all in harmony with him on every plane and every nature. So I think that answers quite explicitly.
All right, thank you, Paul. Charles, you have a question.
The question is, there was an individual that we generally know, Judge Rutherford. Would he have been spirit begotten when he was with Pastor Russell in those early days with him, or later days with him? And then he fell away from it.
I think the Lord knows, Charlie.
I think he was, when we mention the word hypocrite, he was spirit begotten, and kind of, you were right that way too. I think he was in a sense spirit begotten, mm-hmm. knowledgeable. And then again, he was like a hypocrite, so he came in to the point of people,
to a few.
Yeah. That. So I'm trying to bring in that there are those who are literally spirit begotten, but they fall away. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a very serious thing that he
I'm just citing him as an example. There are many things like that. So.
Well, we leave that to the Lord. All right. Is there any further thoughts before we go on?
Could I just read this scripture in Luke 16, 13? This is from this international. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what it says here.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to. Martha read that in Luke
16:13.
Now 16:13. Now you know there's a scripture in 16:9 that says about making friends with men. Let's see. And I say unto you, because someone quoted this, and many do. For I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation.
And I have in mind, make to gain friends, no, use worldly wealth to gain friends. And
that's all right, then. All right, then, Venice.
Tony, I have in the revised version in that about mammon, it says, is a Semitic word for money or riches.
All right, thank you.
My margin brings out riches.
All right.
Tony, I have written in my margin in regard to that first time that Anna read about friends of mammon of unrighteousness, by means of the temporal things given to you by the Lord.
All right, thank you. Harriet?
I think that's true. Mammon is a term for... For wealth or money or whatever. And it doesn't mean that it's like the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love that's misplaced. So it doesn't...
It's how you use it.
Yeah, so we all use mammon every day in every time we go to the store. And we use mammon for promulgating the message of the truth.
Yes. All right, thank you. I don't think we're going to have time to go into the next paragraph.
Joan, could I think?
Are there any? Yes, you want to read the comments
please,
on it?
Please, in regard to the mammon.
Okay.
Mammon. Boy, I can't say that word. In other words, lay up treasures in heaven by the sacrifice of the mammon of unrighteousness. Use whatever of the unrighteous mammon you may have in doing as much good as possible in blessing and assisting others, and thus they will make grateful, appreciative friends. And that's in reprint article 5750.
All right, thank you. Well, I know that Brother Russell used mammon very effectively in the promulgation of the truth.
What?
He was a master at it.
You know, Tony, from the encyclopedia that I have, it's a personification of wealth. From the old Chaldean usage of the word. Does everyone understand this pyramid shape here now? What it means? That's we can talk about mammon, but that's incidental to the whole study here. N, small n, M, P, and Q. And the position it each is in relation to the spirit begel.
Well,
all right, Harriet, and then Venice.
Well, the important thing to remember is that those of P and Q that don't go on to full consecration will all come up as a part of that pyramid and the letter W, and they will all have the opportunity for life then.
Yes, thank you, Harriet. I was going to ask that question. Venice?
But in P and Q, there are definitely tears. I do believe that there are tears in P and Q, definitely.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not all of them.
Q are all tears, but P are some tears.
You'd be surprised. We don't know, you know.
Well, see, this is the chart.
I'm going by the chart, too. Yeah.
This is,
but there will be tears in P also.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. We did mention that. All right. Why don't we close then on page 238, paragraph 2, and that's question number 43. But see, the thing is, many in the P class and many in the great company class are doing it, and they're unawares that they're doing it because of their leaders, because of their teachers. All right, does anyone have a hymn in closing?
Yes.
We'll close with hymn number 172. You want the four verses?
No, that's all right. First and last.
First and last? Brethren, studying to show ourselves approved
daily separating those things which are good and needful for us. As we ascertain the many privileges of the truth, Father, continue to be with us, guide and direct us in our thoughts and our motives, that they may be one unto Thee. Bless us here, bless us still, and bless the brethren everywhere. Comfort the sick, afflict the isolated. We realize Thy mercies are great, Father, and that what we have to ask of Thee and will surely provide us. Grant us Thy strength, grant us Thy peace, that we may look forward unto Thee and to the days ahead. At peace with ourselves and at peace with the world, that we might strive to look unto Thee in all our matters. Now be with us as we depart. Till we meet again, we thank Thee always for Jesus as the captain of our salvation. Be with us and forgive us our shortcomings. We pray in His name. Amen.
Well, you brought up.